Good morning, and thank you for attending this session called Zero Touch Migration from VMware to Windows Server 2012 or to Hyper-V in 60 minutes or less. As you can hear by the accent, I'm not a Kiwi. The good news is I'm also not an Aussie. I'm actually from the Netherlands, from Europe. It's an honor to be here. I had a long flight over the weekend to get here and not too used to the time zone yet. But it's a great opportunity to speak here, and thank you for attending. I think there's probably like 120 people attending, so thank you for that. Allow me to introduce myself a bit further. My name is Maarten Goet. As said, I'm from Amsterdam, the Netherlands. I'm a 7-year, or even now since July, an 8-year Microsoft Cloud and Data Center MVP. Before I was a System Center MVP, and before that I was a MOM MVP. And I'm actually presenting on an Operations Manager session tomorrow in the ballroom at 1 if you want to attend. If you want to follow my updates, here's my Twitter handle. And during my daytime job, I actually assist customers in adopting cloud and data center solutions from Microsoft in the role of an architect. And today in this session, I want to share some of the experiences and some of the approaches we took to perform upgrades and migrations for our customers from VMware to Hyper-V. So the agenda is to quickly look at Windows Server 2012 R2 Hyper-V. We're not going to debate whether VMware or Hyper-V is better. There's a ton of sessions. Ben Armstrong is doing a good session on Hyper-V later today if you want to attend to more of the details on Hyper-V. But in this session, we'll look at migration approaches. I'll give you 5 approaches on how to get from VMware seamlessly into the Microsoft Hyper-V world. And I'll do some demos. Now, unfortunately, the link back in my Amsterdam lab is slow, or I can't remote in, so I'm going to use the screen recordings so we can at least see the demos, see the results, but they're not going to be formed live, so sorry about that. So let's look at Windows Server 2012 R2 Hyper-V first. Microsoft has this vision called CloudOS, where within certain scenarios, so the scenario we're running things on-premises, the scenario we're running our workloads at a provider, a hoster, and a scenario where it's running in the public cloud, the common thing is the Microsoft technology we share. So the virtualization stack that's being used in Windows Azure is actually the same technology we're using on-premises by means of Hyper-V. And the same goes for hosts adopting the Microsoft solutions with things like Windows Azure Pack, where we have the same underlying technology, and we can take virtual machines and we can take workloads and almost seamlessly port them from one environment to another. So the scenarios I'm showing as migration approaches today, they will also count towards migrating your virtual machines or other workloads to Azure. So it's one consistent platform, and we'll talk about the on-premises world with Hyper-V. Now, before we talk about the migration approaches, we need to think about how do we assess what we have today, which VMs are running, at what workloads, and so we have a clear picture of the inventory that we're going to migrate into this new world. There's one tool you can use. There's certainly more, but the one I would recommend is the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, so the MAP Toolkit. It's been out there for a couple of years already. People might know it from earlier versions for instance, email migrations going to a newer version of Exchange. But the latest version, MAP version 9, actually has all kinds of neat functions to assess what workloads you're running and whether or not they'll be able to migrate from, for instance, a VMware platform to Hyper-V. Most of the tasks that my MAP does are agentless. And what we provide with the tool is a readiness assessment for all these kinds of workloads, but certainly also for virtualization. It gives you a mini database. It can use like SQL Express or the full SQL version. It stores the raw data as well as that it generates reports, and we can have a look at summaries of our environment. The best thing, it's free, so you can just go to the Microsoft download site and get your copy today. You install it on a workstation or on a laptop if you're a consultant. You enter the credentials and you're on your way. Now, the current version is version 9. That's actually the one you want to take from the Microsoft website. And there are certain scenarios you can work with in the MAP tool. So we pick a specific inventory scenario. In our case, we can do Windows computers and virtualization. We specify the credentials. So depending on the scenario, we either need to input Windows credentials or Microsoft domain credentials. But if we're going to assess Linux and Unix computers, for instance, we need to input the credentials we're going to use on that platform by means of SSH, etc. So any specific scenario will use specific means of connecting to those workloads. Now, after the initial discovery, we can do a couple of things. We can do more discoveries. We can have it scheduled and run for a longer time. If you want to assess performance, for instance, with virtual machines, how the load is based on a certain month. We can also run reports. And the one thing that's of interest to us is the VMware discovery report. Those will be the VMs that are discovered on the VMware platform, what version they're running, what configuration of the VM, what OS is in them, and whether or not they're going to be suitable to migrate to Hyper-V. So you want to use that report as a basis. That means the first step is done. We have the inventory, we have the raw data, we have the reports, we have lists we can work with, and we need to figure out a plan on how to migrate those VMs over to this new world. And of course, before we start migrating, we need to build our platform. So in my migration approaches, I assume that the Hyper-V platform is already built, that we have connection to the networks that are available both on VMware and Hyper-V, that we can access them through storage, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the foundation. Then there's a couple of migration approaches. And I'll go from light and free options to the more advanced options and some of the paid for options. And the first thing I want to have a look at is the Microsoft Virtual System Center Virtual Machine Manager option. Currently, of course, in 2012, R2, and we can actually connect Virtual Machine Manager into the VMware world. We can connect into a single ESX host, or we can connect into the vCenter server, get the topology of our data center, and then connect into the different hosts for connecting to the migration, for the migration. So this is in general how it works. Once we are connected to that host or to vCenter, we can also do VMware operations from VMM, things like placing a VM on a different host. We can do the vMotion. We can leverage all the functions from VMM to create clouds on top of those hosts, etc. Now, there's one of the things we need to consider when using VMM 2012 R2 is these are the versions of VMware vCenter ESX that we support. And the one you'll see missing is 5.5. And so if you want to go ahead and migrate from 5.5, I'll show you in the other migration approaches on how to do that. But currently with R2 VMM, we only have supported connections to 4.1, 5.0, and 5.1. So let's quickly look at a demo. And so this is a screen recording, so excuse me for any lag. In my demo environment back in Amsterdam, I have one ESXi host. On top of that host, we have six VMs running, VMware Source 1 up until VMware Source 6. Now, if we go into the VMM 2012 R2 console, you'll see that I've already set up all these things ahead of time. In my Fabric workspace, you'll see that I've set up the VMM server, the update server, the networking and the storage ahead of time. But I can use the Add Resources button to add a vCenter server. What I would do is I would enter the computer name and I would specify a Run As account. And the Run As account would be the account we're using to connect to vCenter. We can store them securely into VMM, into the VMM database, and it'll be used for any operation going forward. Now, I've already did that. And if you look at the list, you'll go to servers and management. You'll see that the vCenter server I'm using, vCenter 01, is already connected. It's version 5.1, that's why I can connect from VMM. And it has one managed host and six VMs. Now I need to add the ESX hosts for certain operations. I can't go through vCenter, but VMM will talk to the host directly. Again, I need to specify a Run As account for that specific host, and I can reuse that for other hosts as well. Through vCenter, I found the topology, so it'll list all the ESX hosts that are in my topology. I can associate, click OK, and it'll be added. In this case, it's already added. Status is OK. And when I go to the VMs and services workspace, you'll see those six VMs again. VMware Source 1 up until VMware Source 6. So all is good. We have both environments running, and we can do tasks from both VMM and vCenter. And in this scenario, I want to migrate Source 1, the first VM, from VMware to this Hyper-V host. So I'll have a look at the properties. VMM, discover the VM. You get information about the OS running in the guest. So this is Windows Server 2012. We can look at the status, the VM or hardware configuration, if you will. It has 2 gigs of fixed memory. And we have a hard disk attached. And you can see it's actually on Data Store 1. We can create new disks, etc. And the VMware network adapter is connected to VMware switch tagged 10. So that's the base configuration. This is the VM. We're going to migrate from the VMware environment over to Hyper-V. Now, again, I've already set up the Hyper-V environment to be able to connect to the same network, same storage, so you can do a seamless migration. Otherwise, it will be hard, of course, to migrate from A to B. As you can see, the VM is running. I'm deliberately not shutting it down yet. And if we connect, we have two options. We can migrate storage, so we can migrate the hard disk, or we can migrate the full virtual machine with all the properties from this platform to Hyper-V. So I'll use that option. And we need to select the host, the Hyper-V host, to migrate it to. And when I select one of the Hyper-V hosts, you'll see it's grayed out. And if we look at the error message, in essence, it says, to be migrated, the virtual machine must be stopped. And so this is one of the caveats when using VMM and migrating it over. You need to stop your VM, temporarily have a service window, and then start moving over the VM. So what I'll do is I'll shut down the VM. It takes a couple of seconds, depending on the workloads. And because we're connecting through vCenter, you can clearly see the audit trail initiating a guest OS shutdown, and the VM is now stopped. So perfectly fine there. Go back to VMM, and we'll do the migration again. And this time around, it should actually be able to migrate because the VM is now stopped. We'll select the Hyper-V host to migrate it to. It's under my management folder. And we have the star rating system based on capacity available on the platform. It gives me a slight warning about IDE versus SCSI disks on the platform, but it'll convert that on the way over anyway. We need to specify the storage container for where we'll store the disk on the Hyper-V platform. This could be a CSV, it could be whatever you have figured out for your platform. And now we need to map it to the network switch, the virtual network switch on my Hyper-V platform. We can do things like port classification and, of course, VLAN tagging. Again, we need to be in VLAN 10 to have connectivity to the same network it was connected before. We'll hit next. We need to specify whether or not the VM will be started and stopped when the Hyper-V server stops or starts. And then in the last option, we can specify if we want to start the VM after migrating it. So we hit move. It'll do some pre-flight checks. And for those who know VMM, there's a job section. You can actually have a look at the current job, the migration job. And you see the separate tasks. It's starting to convert. It'll then copy. It'll then transfer it over to Hyper-V. And because we didn't checkmark the start, it will just be placed there, stopped. And that should be the conversion. Now, it's going to take a couple of minutes, depending on your platform, your network, your storage. The other caveat is, like you saw, it's only one at a time. So this is probably not the one thing you want to do in your service window if you have like 100 VMs you want to migrate. Of course, you can use the PowerShell backend of VMM to automate some of these steps. But in general, this is your free within VMM option to migrate from VMware to Hyper-V. Now, one of the things we also didn't see VMM doing was things like uninstalling the VMware tools, cleaning up the VM, making sure we have the integration services in the new VM, et cetera. So there's a couple of things you need to do after or maybe even before you migrate the VM. Now, there's another option you should consider, which is called the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, MVMC. They actually announced version 3 as a preview, but currently as a final version, version 2 is out. And it's a Microsoft-supported solution. That's the best thing. It's a free solution again. It's a standalone tool you can run, again, on any workstation within your environment. And it allows you to migrate from VMware to Hyper-V. It's an installer. You could use version 1, but I would recommend version 2, which has support for R2. You can select the virtual machine you want to migrate. It's fully scriptable, so there's a PowerShell backend for this tool as well if you want to automate steps. And it has all the OS support for those OSs that have current or extended lifecycle support. What it does, it selects, it connects to the VMware source, so your VMware ESX host. It will convert. It will actually use the local machine to do the conversion. You select the Hyper-V host as a destination, and it will create a copy there and spin it up depending on settings. And it supports a lot of things like VHD, fixed, dynamic, IDE, SCSI, some of these options you can use. And in the newest version, actually, I should have added that into the slide, 5.5 is supported. So this is going to be the one you're using if you're running VMware 5.5. Now, the new version also, quick question. Yes. Yeah, so the question is, can we copy the machine but leave the source machine on VMware? And that's actually the case. I'll show you in a second because that's also for the fallback scenario. No problem. MVMC also allows you to migrate to Windows Azure. And that's, of course, because we use the same VHD technology in Azure. We can take that converted disk and upload it to Azure. It does that for you if you specify your account ID, your certificate, your password, et cetera. We support offline virtual machines. Same case here. We need to have the VM shut down, so we need to figure out the service window and when to do this. We do support the new VHDX on top of VHD and support for 5.5, so it's listed on this slide. So let's have a look at MVMC version 2. Same environment, but in this case, I've installed MVMC ahead of time. It runs on this workstation. And the first choice we have is, do we want to migrate from something to Hyper-V or from something to Azure? And we're going to migrate to Hyper-V in this case. We need to select the Hyper-V host, so that's going to be the same MGT Hyper-V Management 02 machine. Depending on if I have rights within the domain to connect, I can use my Windows user account or specify a service account. Now, we're going to use local storage or some kind of storage we can reach from this workstation to get a copy of the hard disk, then do the conversion on. So this is my temporary storage path. I want it to be converted to dynamically expanding, and I want it to become a VHDX type of disk during the conversion. And then we need to specify the vCenter ESX or ESXi host. So we'll go through vCenter in this example, specify a username for vCenter and password. And it'll inquire through the VMware API and give me again the 6 VMs that are available. The first one's already off. We've migrated that through VMM, so we'll take the second one, which is still running. And although it's running, it'll shut it off for you if you go ahead with this wizard. So make sure you know that it's using shutdown virtual machines for conversion. The final state of the virtual machine, the final state of the destination, so the final state of source and destination, the temp storage. So excuse me, what the screen we saw beforehand was the path it will run on the Hyper-V host, and this is the temp storage. So we use a local disk E because that speeds up. We can use local storage. We'll get a summary. And after the summary, when we hit finish, it'll actually start doing the migration step by step. It'll validate our connection string, our user ID, etc. And the first thing it'll do, it'll create a snapshot, because this tool will actually help you uninstall VMware tools before it shuts down and just before it powers on, it has the integration services configured. So we create a snapshot so we can always go back, and we leave the source VM intact so we can always delete the destination one and go back to the original situation. So you'll see, because we're connecting through vCenter, it says creating a snapshot. And again, depending on your environment, it could be really quick. It could take a while for it to perform. Afterwards, you'll have the VM, in our case, stopped in the environment. It'll be configured, the network will be attached, and we can actually use that in Hyper-V. And so we have the fallback scenario. We won't touch the source other than creating a snapshot, but we'll leave the rest intact. Now, this is, again, like a per VM scenario. If you want to do 100 or maybe hundreds of during maybe like a service window in the weekend, it's going to take you a bit of time. We do have a PowerShell backend here as well. So once you know the syntax, you can use that to schedule or batch automate. Now, why invent the wheel when it's already available for you? Because that type of automation, that PowerShell scripting around MVMC, is called Migration Automation Toolkit, MAT. And it's a solution accelerator, again, from Microsoft. One of their employees created this. It's a fully supported solution, again, but it builds on top of MVMC. So everything you saw just now is still applicable, but we're going to use it through PowerShell and automation. So we take MVMC, instead of one at a time, we're using MAT, and we will convert through PowerShell batching. And this is the URL you can go to. It's on the TechNet gallery to get the MAT toolkit. And it's being maintained. So new versions of MVMC, feedback you submit. Rob, who's created this solution, will actually update it for you every couple of weeks. So how does it work? Well, in essence, we do the same thing. We take MVMC under the hoods. We connect into VMware, vSphere, ESX, vCenter, whatever. We collect. Second is we present you with a list. That's a list that you can edit. You can create a text file. You can create some batching yourself around that if you will. But we can place an ordered list into a designated area of the MAT file structure. And then it'll just kick off and convert. So it'll connect, copy the disk, convert it for you, created it Hyper-V, etc. But remember, it still uses the temp storage on this workstation we're using for conversion. So if you're going to do 100 and you did, like, I don't know, 10 concurrent or whatever scale you'd like to run at, make sure you handle this through this workstation. Also the CPU power, because the CPU on this workstation is doing a lot of conversion for you. So it's going to be intensive. But it's a good solution. It helped us do a lot of migrations in the past, so you could certainly have a look at MAT. Again, free to use. It's driven by PowerShell and MVMC. It uses a SQL Express database version, and you can certainly upgrade to a full version because it needs to remember statuses, where it's in the process, etc. So there's a SQL backend. Multiple concurrent conversions scales. Of course, you could use a number of workstations with MAT to do your conversions. You can extend it in a way that it's just PowerShell, so you can take that code and go forward with it, and it has some basic reporting attached to it. Best of all, it's supported. So if you have any problem you run into during the conversions, you can just call Microsoft support. And still, if you're saying, I'm using MVMC, I'm using MAT, CSS will help you try and find a solution. Now, one of the downsides, I guess, to using MAT is the fact that we need local storage, we need local CPU power. It's probably going to take a while, even if you do things concurrent, for these hundreds of servers to migrate in a weekend or in a service window. Now, who's using NetApp in their organization? Okay, a few hands. For those that are, you could have a look at what they call Project Shift. So the customer is using NetApp. There's a certain version and a certain license option you need in your NetApp storage. I'm not sure which one, but you could talk to your NetApp representative. Or, for instance, you could buy or hire one NetApp device to do the migration for you. The unique thing that Project Shift brings you is it takes the Microsoft Automation Toolkit, and thus it takes the MVMC, but instead of using local storage, it uses the intelligence of the NetApp device to do the conversion. And it's on block level. It's almost instantaneous. It does the VMDK to VHDX conversions almost on the fly, on the storage. And like snapshots, etc., it doesn't duplicate storage. It just creates pointers. So it's very, very quick. Also, if you want to roll back. So this is NetApp Shift. You can get that from NetApp. It does build on top of a certain feature you need to be licensed for, and I forgot which one it was. So you need to look at that. Again, I have a video to demo NetApp Shift. So different environment this time, a couple of more VMs to show the speed, approximately 30 VMs running on one ESX host. And I have a Hyper-V host set up. As you can see, it's Hyper-V Manager showing you an empty Hyper-V host. And on the back end, we're starting the Shift PowerShell script. And the first thing it does, it connects to ESX and gets you a list of all the 30 VMs. It connects to the data on tap, so to the NetApp storage. It enumerates the VMs. And quickly after this, it gives you a window. And in this window, I can actually by hand select the VMs I want to migrate, or through PowerShell, I could have specified a list. I'll select them all, say OK. And now it's going to convert all the disks from VMDK to VHDX. And on the left side in the PowerShell window, we should see how quickly that goes, mostly just a couple of seconds per VM per disk. And on the right-hand side, you'll see those being created in Hyper-V during the same action. So there they go. Under 20 seconds per VM, and it's already booting on Hyper-V. So if you have a ton of VMs to do, or you have a small service window, or you want to do test migrations and you're running out of time, certainly the option where you shift on top of MAT, on top of MVMC, is going to be a good solution. Now, this is still going to be a scenario where your VM needs downtime. Even though it's short, your VM will be shut down. It will be started in a new environment. So do plan for downtime when using Project Shift. Now, this is one solution from a vendor that's here on the show floor. It's a common solution we see throughout the world. And it's called Double Take Move from a vendor called Vision Solution. They're a preferred partner of Microsoft for doing the migrations. It's a paid-for solution. It's not free. So that's the, I think, the con in this solution. But there's a lot of pros to look at. The first thing is we can go from these platforms to another platform, but also the other way around. So we can go from physical to virtual. We can go from VMware to Hyper-V, but also from Hyper-V to VMware. We can go from VMware to VMware if you have a new environment, or Hyper-V to Hyper-V. We can go to Azure. And you see the dotted lines. We can go pretty much from any environment to any environment. And the reason they can do that is they don't, they're an in-guest solution. So the things they perform will be in-guest, and so we also need guest credentials to be able to talk to the VM or the workload, the OS instance, for it to reach it, do its functionality, and drag it over to the new environment. So it's a different approach. For some of the scenarios, it's a much better approach. Now, what DoubleTake does is it installs kind of a mini agent in your OS, whether it's a physical server or VM, you get this DoubleTake agent, and it installs a DoubleTake driver. And what the DoubleTake driver does, it will actually, when you set up a protection job or a move job, does capture an initial copy of all the data of that OS, of the VM or the physical server, and copy that over once to the target server. And then any time the OS writes down to disk, it will actually capture that as part of the I/O driver and will make a copy of that same data. So it's being written to disk. DoubleTake also captures a copy of that. It will then wait for the data to be submitted to disk, so we certainly know that it's the data that's applied to disk. And once we get that confirmation, it will copy that data over to the destination server. And so almost instantaneous, or depending on latency, we get a mirrored copy of the OS on the other side. So let's, in this example, have left be a VMware host and right being a Hyper-V host. One VM in guest, the data is being copied. Now, for some reason, connectivity fails. Maybe the connection is dead or it's a high latency. That same driver will be able to buffer changes. So first it'll do that in memory, depending on the memory of that VM. And then if the period takes longer, and I hope not, but could be a scenario, it could also use a disk queue to buffer longer until we have a connection. And once that connection is back up, it'll start sending the data over in the right order and being applied to the destination, so it's current again. And this DoubleTake solution would also, and I'll show you that in a demo, show you the status whether or not these two VMs are still current. So let's have a look. Again, we're in the same environment. So we have the DoubleTake console. I've installed this on the same workstation. And from here, we have our management console, and we can connect into these different environments and have DoubleTake do the work. So we'll go to the Manage Servers tab. I've already added the Hyper-V host, as you can see. I've added the fifth VM. So those are already up and running. And there's one job. It's already protecting VM5, and I'll come back to that in a second on what's happening with VMware Source 5. But we want to start replicating and migrating Source 4, so the fourth VM. We'll specify the VMware VM, because again, this is an in-guest solution. We don't need to connect to vCenter, we just need connectivity into the VM. We specify the credentials to connect into the VM, and we specify the domain to do so. We'll click Set and then click OK. And there's also a way to do automatic discovery. So if you don't want to do it manually, we can use AD and the current credentials of this service account to connect into those VMs. It's authenticating, cannot connect to the management service. So what this actually means is the agent is not installed on this VM yet. You can pre-stage if you want to through your favorite management tool, maybe Config Manager, but you can also have DoubleTake install it. And so what we'll do is we'll take this VM and we'll hit install. Now you need to think about this, because it'll install .NET Framework 3.5. So if you have that installed, fine. If we're able to install it, that's fine as well. If you don't want it, we're going to be in a bit of a trouble, because we need .NET for the agent. We select a license code. It's based on a per VM license. And we can set some installation defaults, so the path, the temp folder, an amount of memory we can use for maximum, et cetera, and whether or not we want to install it now or later, and the reboot automatically check mark. So it now executes the installer. It's going to take a couple of minutes, I guess, depending on if you already installed .NET Framework. And after that, we can actually talk to the management service and start setting up the job. Now, before we do that, we'll go and look at VMware Source 5 first. We'll go to Manage Jobs. There's one job, one synchronization migration job already set up. If we look at the details, it's healthy, so it's synced, it's fully operational. It's mirroring this VM to Hyper-V host 2. Target route compression of some of the details of this VM. And when we connect into Hyper-V Manager, into host 2, we actually see a VM with the name VMware Source 5 Replica. It's almost like using Hyper-V replica where we mirror the VM to the other side. That's how DoubleTick does almost the same approach and creates a replica of the VM and protects the data in source VM and mirrors to the destination VM. Now we can do a failover or a cutover because it's now running on VMware. It's stopped on the Hyper-V environment. We can test our failover. And the difference between a test failover or really doing the migration is the network card won't be attached to a virtual switch. And it means we can still boot the VM, but it won't be able to communicate because with a test failover, the source VM will stay running, still operational to everybody, data still being mirrored, but also the destination VM will be started. And let's take the example of a domain controller. You don't want one clone of a domain controller running at the same time on the network. So test failover means it's not being attached to the network just yet. So I'm remoting into the source 5 VM, and just to show you that it's really data we're mirroring on block level, I'll start SQL Management Studio, and we'll create a database with some data so you can see that it's instantaneous with the data mirroring. So we'll start SQL Management Service. The SQL Server is running on this source 5 VM, and we don't have any databases configured just yet. So connect to 5. And it should show an empty database list. So nothing exciting yet. What I did is I created a script ahead of time to create the database, create the table, and at least one record of data. And so what the magic query does, it creates a TechEd database. There we go. With the default options, one table, one entry. We'll execute that. And it should be created. There we go. Have a look at the timestamp, May 9th, 17, well, 5:45 in the evening. so that should be mirrored over to the replica. And so when we do the test failover in a second, and when we boot the VM and go into SQL Management Studio there, it should actually show me the same data because it was protecting, it was synced, so it should be there already. We'll do test failover, click failover, and it says failing over. So it'll do some magic, it'll set up the properties for the VM, it'll start it, etc. So we'll come back to that in a second. And as you now can see, source 4, the VM where we were installing the agent on, is actually now already installed. And the failing over job is running from this source to target server 2. So that should be there in a couple of minutes. So what we want to do is I want to show you how to set up the protection and the migration. We'll take DoubleTick move. DoubleTick availability is if you want to do continuous protection. DoubleTick move is where we will do a one-time cutover. We can do tests as much as we like, but once we've cut it over, DoubleTick move is done. I'll take availability so I can go back to the original situation. We can protect an entire server, parts of a server. We can take a Windows server, but also Linux, Unix, other workloads. We'll take source 4, which we just configured with the agent. And we want to do a full server to Hyper-V with one disk in this VM, the C drive. That's also mandatory, so that's grayed out. And then we have some replication rules. We can be granular. So let's say the page file, not something you want to like protect and continuously mirror to the other side. maybe other stuff where you say, let's not include those in the mirror because they'll be recreated during boot time anyway. So you can be granular. The target server, which will be our Hyper-V host 2. And we'll hit next. And then we can set quite a few of options to do the protection and the migration. We, of course, give it a job name. We set the machine location, so it's going to be on the C drive of this host. The path where the virtual machine will be stored. We can do the CSV path, so copy paste that into the Vision Solutions tool. There we go. Then we can do some replica configuration. So for instance, we can set the number of processors that the destination VM will get, the name of the VM on the Hyper-V host, the amount of memory we want to have assigned. We can remap the network again, of course. So have it bind to the logical switch or other items, have it not connected or discard a certain network adapter. The volumes, the great thing here is we can resize. So if you chose a small C drive and you're also preparing for a new OS version, we can, of course, expand the C drive. We can make it a dynamic disk. Network settings, so maybe you want to remap your network settings when migrating over to a new environment, maybe to a different data center, or maybe you're running the VM afterwards in Azure, and you want to map it to your subnet in Azure instead of your data center subnet. So we can change all these settings. We can also look at the failover options. And another neat thing, for instance, in network routes. Let's say you're migrating to another data center or to Azure. Maybe there's a specific network card, specific route you wanted to use for the replication and the migration traffic. So you can specify the route. So this is quite granular. This is actually quite advanced. And you can influence a lot of these settings. Another thing they provide is compression. And clearly, if you're migrating to Azure, that's a good option. So we use less bandwidth. And talking about bandwidth, we can also fix it or, for instance, use scheduled limits, when to run the replication or when not to run the replication. So there's a lot of things you can influence per job for this to be protected to another VM and ultimately fail it over to that new environment and use it there. So we'll continue setting up the job. It'll do a pre-flight check again. And there we go. Everything is green. Finish it up. And DoubleTake will start the migration. Now we can see source 4.5 being failed over. So activity is being failed over. So that's good. So what we can do is we can go to Hyper-V Manager and have a look. And again, with a failover, a test failover, the source is still running. The destination is also there, but it's not connected to the network. So make sure you understand what's happening there. VMware Source 5 currently idle. So even now that both VMs are running, it still means that we're syncing data. So let's say we're now logging onto this VM, which is now running on Hyper-V as well. If we start doing stuff here, it will sync it back. Of course, you can influence if you want to. But it's a full copy of the VM that's being synced. And here's the proof that the network adapter is not connected because it's a test failover. So the proof of the pudding would be to log into SQL Management Studio, show you whether or not the database is there currently and if the timestamp is the same. So we'll use the remote console, the console connect, to get into our VM. There we go. And then we need to log in. So we'll type in the username and password. Because it has my cached credentials because it was on the network on the other side, I'll be able to log into the VM. It won't connect to the network, but the cache credentials would be verified locally. So his server manager will start SQL Management Studio. Hopefully the Hyper-V host is a bit quicker and it'll be able to show us the results. There we go, source 5. And should list our Tekkit database. Tables, TE2014. And if we select it, should show us 5:45. There we go. So that's perfectly done. And the migration went fine. So this is one of the options you could consider if you have like an advanced scenario, if you want to take physical to virtual conversions, because for instance with VMM and also with MVMC, we can't do the P2V, and this will allow you to do P2V. This will also allow you to migrate to Azure. But like we said, there's actually an option with MVMC as well to migrate to Azure, and I'll quickly grab that one. Here we go. I'll decide that myself. Here we go. So same environment again. I will step back into Virtual Machine Manager Converter to show you how to migrate to Azure instead of to Hyper-V. So we'll take the Migrate to Windows Azure option. Now I need to specify my subscription ID and the certificate thumbprint. So the certificate, the private key I'm using to connect into my subscription. And what I'll do is I'll log into Windows Azure with the live ID I have associated with my subscription to find out my subscription ID. So I'll log in. And this is the current portal. You can also try and use the preview portal. It'll list my Azure subscription. I have a couple of things configured, like storage accounts. I'm using multi-factor authentication options from Azure. But we'll go to settings to find out our subscription ID. So here we have settings. And there's the subscription ID. It's the GUID. And we'll copy that into our copy buffer. And we'll use that in MVMC. There we go, subscription ID. This is the one we want to connect to. It knows how to connect to the management API behind the scene, so we only specify the ID. And we need to specify a thumbprint. Now, the certificate should be in this certificate store on this computer, which I'm using with this tool. And because we don't have one created yet, I'll actually use MakeCert, which is part of the Windows SDK, to create a self-signed certificate, but you could certainly also use certificates that your enterprise CA had issued or a public CA you'll use. I'll use a self-signed one, and afterwards I'll upload the public key into Azure, and I'll keep the personal and private key into my certificate store on this computer. So here's the certificate. Azure Cert will say install certificates as current user. I want to make sure it's in the right one. So first we need to, of course, trust it. And this is for demo purposes, so I wouldn't recommend using self-signed certificates, but I think you get the idea. So I'll add the certificate into the trusted root CA of my current user, and then we'll open up the certificate store. So open up MMC, at the certificate snap-in for my user account, hit finish, have a look. In the personal store, it's already being added by MakeCert, so we have the certificate, it's valid, it's now being trusted, and we have the private key, so the certificate is okay. So our side of the equation is set up. Now we need to go, of course, into Azure and upload the certificate. So that's in settings as well. There's a tab called Management Certificates. You can open up a file browser, select the same Azure cert, and hit OK. And a couple of seconds later, it should be uploaded into your Azure subscription. So those are the things you want to set up beforehand before you can use MVMC. So it's uploading. Should only take a couple of seconds. There we go. Azure cert, subscription ID. And there's the thumbprint. So from this window, we can copy the thumbprint of the certificate. You could also find it in the certificate store, of course, in the MMC, but this is easier. We'll hit next. And so it validates. It then asks us which storage account in Azure to use, where to store the disk of this converted VM. So we can take any of the two that we created in Azure ahead of time. Now the thing it'll do, it will upload the disk, but it will not create the VM configuration. So after we've run MVMC, we need to go into the storage account folder and create a VM based off of this disk. So that's one of the things you need to reckon with. And we can select any of the sizes that Azure allows us to select. We'll take the portal folder, then the source. In our case, it's going to be the MGT vCenter again. We'll give the username MGT administrator, and it will connect to the VMware API and give us a list of the virtual machines again. And this time we're going to migrate source 3. The third VM, the other two are off based on the other scenarios. So we'll take 3. The connection, whether or not we want it to be powered off. For the destination, it's going to be off because we're just creating the disk and we're not creating the VM, like I said. So can't select on. Hit next. The temp folder, we'll not use the Hyper-V folder, we'll use the Azure folder. There we go. On this workstation, hit next. Checks all the settings, and then we're ready. We hit finish. It does the same steps, but starts to copy and upload it to Azure. And then we can go to the Azure portal in the end and create a VM based off of this disk. So I guess that's the way to convert from VMware to Hyper-V, from VMware to Azure, I'm sorry. So there's a couple of things we saw today. There are seamless ways to get from VMware to other platforms. There is a couple of free solutions out there from Microsoft. All of them are supported, have their pros and their cons. DoubleTake has a paid-for solution, which is more advanced, but will cost you some money to get there. And then given that Microsoft has this CloudOS vision where we share technology base, we can also migrate all the way up to Azure. So I guess this is just a couple of things I wanted to share with you. If you have any questions, I'll be here for the next couple of minutes, and thank you for your attention. Thank you.